It's your
absolutely.
Yes, it'd be amazing.
Your actions will be taken.
It's your Toucher and Rich.
Big drinker.
Drunken Red Sox recap.
Like he's good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, intern Nick was out at the Red Sox game talking to people. He ran into two people who had been kicked out of the game. Here's a quick review.
Can we use this for the radio?
Yes, you can, but can you please let me back into the game, man?
I actually have no control
of
that.
My man, hold on. Let me ask my boy. Yo, come off for the game, man. I'm going to tell you right now.
Recording?
The Red Sox.
Yeah, my name is Nick from 98 Fox Sports.
He is recording me, bro.
Wait, listen, you're going to record me. I am almost famous on Instagram. I've been with Fatboy SSC. I've been on all of them. I've been off videos that I've had 5 million views.
Let me ask him right now. Why is he not accepting her snow right now?
You kid, you got thrown out. You're done. They threw me out to win you. You're done.
They did?
You're done. You cut, kid. You're done.
They did?
They really threw you out.
They gave you the...
They kind of threw you out.
They gave you the shaft. You're done.
So I can't flex for you and me, right?
You're done. He told him you're done. Who got to flex you? You're done.
So you're with me, right? I mean, if you want...
Do you know Mark Jamelli?
Mark who?
Never mind. What's your name?
My name's Sexy Motherfucker. Pesci on Instagram.
Talk to me about the Red Sox. How do you think they've been doing this season?
Mookie Betts, I love him. He can hit one out of the park.
Yeah.
He ain't no David Ortiz, but he's all right.
I got to ask real quick. Is that really your accent?
That's how I talk. My father's from the North End.
Yes.
I'm from Medford. You can follow me on Instagram, Sexy Pesci. I'm trying to get big. Let me blow up. Let me have Medford, Somerville, Everett, everywhere. Malden, let me get it.
Hey, put me on.
All right. So what happened tonight? Why are you leaving the game so early?
I'm only leaving the game because the attorneys of the game, when I mean attorneys, is what I mean is the money-wide players of the game said I can't come. Because you know what? I've been going to Red Sox games since I was 9 years old. You know what that's been since? 2008 years old. All right?
All right, so that's where we left off. We found the guy's Instagram page, Sexy Pesci, and he was doing a nip, like, without using his hands, and I go... That's Dr. McGillicuddy. And sure enough, skaboom, that is Doc McGillicuddy. So they tape themselves. They look like normal guys, and they're taping themselves at the game. But then he does, like, a Kaepernick ad. And what was it? What's it say?
He's like, do what you will, but pay me my blanket money.
F what you believe in. Where's my MF money?
Yeah, and he's got like a trench coat on.
Hashtag just pay me.
And like in the first
and
thing
it's a car.
In this Instagram thing, in the first thing he's got, I'm getting a nice hot shave.
Right, like as you said, the beginning of the Untouchables.
Yeah, like I am like Capone. The one gentleman is 2008 years old. Here we go.
Yeah. Hey, stop this thing. You can't drink here. Just be quiet.
No.
Look at this. I'm trying to get big on the gram. You know what I'm saying? I've been a world star. I've been in the shade room. I've been everywhere.
The shade room?
What? I don't know what the shade room is.
I've been a world star.
The shade room in Everett. I don't know if you've heard of it.
I've recorded many a street fight.
Yeah. World star. Look here. I'm hitting my buddy with a baseball bat. World star, famous.
It doesn't matter. Well,
let me see your phone.
Kid, it don't matter.
Kid, I got raps. I got everything. You want to put on the sports up?
It don't matter.
Hey, listen, you're going to see my Boston Sports video. Look at this. Look at my Boston Sports video. You're going to tell me you ain't going to put me on Boston Sports, or is it? Right here. Look at this. Boston Sports. They wouldn't even put me on.
Talk to me about the Red Sox winning 100 games.
I'll
what do you think
right
about
now,
that?
The Red Sox winning 100 games is...
Hold on, he ain't talking to you. Let him talk to me. The Red Sox winning 100 games this year, that's 100% fact. We're going all the way. We're going to the series. And you know what? New York, the Yankees, they can suck our brajola.
I was only going to say that.
I looked it up. It's not a bad word.
I like taking photos in a trench coat with a cigar in my mouth.
I was kind of enjoying Andrew Dice Flintstone there before.
Oh, yeah. Wilma, make me dinner. Meatball stat. I am going to get a brontosaurus to grill.
Hickory dickory heel. My friend, he invented the wheel. Oh!
That's right.
What are you working on? Shut up. You got to move it with your feet. It's called a car.
All of a sudden, he's Bobby Valentine's friend.
I'm Valentine from prehistoric days.
Prehistoric Bobby Valentine?
Did you build a house with your bare hands?
I fashioned a cave into a dwelling. I had hay that I put for bedding.
Bobby, what's that round thing you're putting on the bottom of that automobile? That'll never work.
It'll work. It will get our livestock from here to there.
Prehistoric Bobby Valentine.
Hey, why are you rubbing them sticks together? Don't worry about it. What's going on? You crazy? You got bagooka? What's going on? I don't know what anything is. You're rubbing two sticks together. I'll tell you what I'm doing, stupid. Fire. I'm inventing fire. What are you doing? Sexy pesty. You're going to burn the whole town down. Not so fast. I am going to cut open the brontosaurus and give a steak.
Very good.
And then go to caves over here in Jurassic Land everywhere and look at my paintings. I'm blowing up.
I've been on Wall Star Kid.
I'm trying to get big. Let me blow up.
I discovered a Star Kid.
Jesus.
Malden Revere, Medford.
Be careful, and you gotta worship the sun.
Prehistoric Sexy Pesci.
That's right.
So, how did you celebrate the 100 wins?
I went to the bar after. How can I say it?
Did you have
I cracked a bottle of Buka and I went crazy.
You raged?
Zambuca? Oh, I'm just now getting that. That's what he's talking about? It's Buka.
Rage, kid. Kid, I was running the streets with my bloomers on.
Listen, Mookie Betts, he's going to take the Red Sox to another level. And they're going to win. No.
He says, kid, it's the sports up.
Yeah, but still,
they love me. Hold on.
Mookie Betts is still going.
Listen to this.
My dad lives in the North End. Did you know that?
Who?
My dad.
Your father?
Yeah.
I never heard of him. What's your father's name?
Mark Ciamelli.
Mark who?
Mark Ciamelli.
My father's name is Ziggy.
Oh.
Okay.
My father's from the North End.
Mookie Betts is going to win. Listen, the Red Sox
are going to win. If you would have sent me 20 minutes, we'd be famous. I'd be honest with you.
Right. Why are you lying about me right now?
I'm not lying.
I'm say, Mookie Betts is going to win. He's going to take the Red Sox to another level. Listen, I'm not lying. I'm a Red Sox fan. I've been gone since the beginning of New Mexico.
What?
I had to leave again.
No, they did a land deal, and I had to leave.
This is Prospector Sexy Pesci.
I went to San Francisco to get gold.
Was he involved in, the Louisiana Purchase?
I was one of the people in the caravans, and a woman had to feed us with breast milk. Did you ever read that book by Steinbeck? Grapes of Wrath?
Yes.
That was about Sexy Pesci. These lands are not fertile.
Mark who?
These lands are not suitable for growing crop. You're out of your mind. Where you want to go? Northern California. Prospect. Give me my pots and pans. And my pike.
Your pike.
What, do you want to mess with me? I have two pikes.
What are you doing?
I have on a trench coat and two pikes.
Oregon Trail music?
Oregon Trail. I wish I had that.
I have dysentery. Don't worry about it.
No Foggy Mountain breakdown for this?
I guess I don't know.
You out of your mind with this land, Bill? There's nothing here but desert.
Dysentery.
I have dysentery. From any Dr. McGillicuddy's home remedies.
And I've been gone since the beginning of New Mexico again. I will tell you right
now. This guy wants to talk about sports.
Yeah, he wants to talk about sports. And I'm going to say New Mexico will f***
win. What are you talking about?
When what? Who got to? They're going to win. Come
what
on.
What are you trying to get me out of? I'm going to tell you right now, New Mexico got the best defense. They got the best offense.
God save the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, please.
No.
God save the Commonwealth.
No, you're bugging. The Patriots have the best offense, and they have the best defense of
hold
New Mexico.
On, hold on.
I'm not trying to let my daughter tongue go.
What jersey are you wearing?
Kid, I wear a Pebble Bond.
I love whatever. If you are going to play
Pebble Bond, my daughter.
Is it his daughter Pebble Bond?
No, Pebbles.
Pebbles Bond. Yes, because he's still.
Yes,
it's Jim Sexy Pesci.
I'm going back and forth from time periods.
You're a prospect to Super Pesci, whatever.
Yeah, right. I got Pebbles jersey on, is what I said.
Yes, Pebbles on, yes.
Get away from Bam Bam. Okay. I'll kill you, Bam Bam.
You've been wearing it since New Mexico. Before New Mexico.
Before New Mexico.
If you are going to play against...
This ain't the Olympics. It's he wants to hear about the Red Sox, the Patriots, the f***ing Brewers.
Yes, the Patriots against the Falcons is military.
Kid, this guy's about to get famous about what we're doing right
now. I'm not saying the eight. He's going to get famous.
Listen, I'm trying to get big, seriously.
Yeah.
My friends have won... What's that huge thing? DraftKings?
Yeah.
My friends have... Yeah, cough my f***ing shoulder.
What the hell? Is that in real noise?
That's a real cough.
Yeah, cough my shoulder a little bit.
Cough my shoulder a little bit more.
DraftKings?
Yeah.
My friends have... friends have... Yeah, cough my shoulder a little bit more, buddy. My friends have won DraftKings. All I know is I'm from Medford. My name's Sexy Pesci on Instagram. You can follow me. I'm trying to get big. I've been in videos with Fatboy SSC. I've been with Supreme Patty. I've been with Kush Poppy. I've been with P.O. I've been with everybody on Instagram. And I'm trying to get big. So let me get my name on there.
All right, so if you could say anything to the Boston Red Sox, what would it be?
David Ortiz. If you had
follow.
Stop that again. Say it again.
If you could say anything to the Boston Red Sox, what would it be?
David Ortiz, if you had a bat, I'd blow it.
Mookie Betts.
Okay.
Thatcher and Rich.
One thing that I will tell you that Josh Gordon needs to hear, those guys in that locker room is going to embrace Josh Gordon. Devin McCourty, captain. You got Matthew Slater. And then last but not least, number 12, Tom Brady, is going to embrace Josh Gordon because he's been wanting a weapon, a big, tall weapon, 6'3"-ish. Freakish talent to be able to go out and make those plays. You look at what Ocho Cinco was unable to do there. Now you're bringing in another receiver, and I'm not talking, not saying that they're similar, but Josh McDaniels runs a very sophisticated offense. And Matt, just like you said, if he picks it up, man, y'all better look out in New England.
And I'm just
Campbell pulls away with a play fit in the pocket, steps up, fires to the near side. Gordon goes down and makes the grab at the 21, falling in front of Tlaib. First down catch, Josh Gordon.
He's a beast. Josh Gordon is an absolute beast. He may be the best wide receiver that we've seen.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich.
High praise for Randy Moss there at the beginning.
Indeed. So Josh Gordon going from Cleveland to the Patriots for a fifth-round pick. If he doesn't play 10 games, the Patriots get a seventh in return. Phil Perry, he covers the Patriots for NBC Sports Boston. Hello, Mr. Perry.
Hello, boys. What's going on?
All right. Wallach has tweeted out last night that he thinks that Josh Gordon has a 10-cent head.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I tweeted.
You did.
Mm-hmm. I'm not debating this.
You sound almost sarcastic. I mean, you said he's got a 10-cent head.
Fred, you're projecting. I'm not being sarcastic at all. That's what I tweeted.
Okay. What do you think of that?
Well, I mean, obviously the guy has had, I don't know, how many second chances? You don't even call him second. He's on his eighth, ninth chance at this point. The Browns invested a ton in this guy in terms of just patience and time and effort and energy, and they were willing to eventually cut ties, even though, you know, the guy clearly can still play. He clearly can still play. The touchdown, the most recent touchdown that we saw the guy catch, pretty ridiculous in terms of coordination, leaping ability, hands, all that. So they know he can play, and they were still willing to part ways with the guy. So I don't think there's any debate there. I think there's a very good chance that he's not on the Patriots in a couple of weeks here. That's just been his track record. I just think based on the risk-reward, what you're giving up, your needs as a football team and as an offense, all those things, you put them all together. You also have an environment here in New England where you probably feel like, okay, if this is going to work, we have the resources to be able to surround this guy with them to in order for it to work. And so I think for all those reasons, you go ahead and you make this move.
That you know of, do you know of a system that the Patriots have that would be used almost as a babysitter for Josh Gordon? Do you see this organization having somebody who kind of stays with him and monitors what he does to make sure he doesn't slip?
Seems like a massive headache to undertake.
It worked so well in the past.
No, not that I know of. They do have, like I said, they do have resources, you know, such as, you know, they have staffers, as a lot of teams do, when guys come into town to help them get set up. I think the players in the locker room really are what the team will lean on, though. And as Randy Moss said right there, Rob Ninkovich told me last night, once a guy like this comes into the room, you embrace him and you try to do whatever you can to help him succeed. And the way Ninkovich was putting it was, even the guys at his position, the guys he might be taking snaps from, generally what happens in that locker room is that even those guys will try to help a new player out. So somebody like Chris Hogan, for instance, whose touches may be affected, if this works out perfectly and Josh Gordon is who he can be, and he's a legitimate number one type receiver, and you're using him on the outside, and it's going to be him and Julian Edelman down the stretch as your top two receivers, this impacts Chris Hogan in a big way. You know, this is probably taking away touches. It might take away snaps. The guy's in a contract year. All of those things could affect Hogan. We'll see how it ends up working out. But I think the indication from Ninkovich was that, you know, he assumed somebody like Hogan would even try to help him out, even if he's not thrilled that, you know, somebody is coming in here and maybe taking some work from him.
Considering what's left at the wide receiver position for the Patriots, is this a desperate move by the Patriots, or is this just, oh, here's a guy who's available that might help us?
I mean, if you're making 30 moves almost from the start of the league year at one position, and you're up over 20 now since the start of training camp at one position, you're desperate. So they're desperate. Now, would they have gone out and made this move if they, you know, if Edelman was active and they were already looking fairly healthy and fairly deep at wide receiver? Maybe they would, just because the talent is that great. But to me, this is a desperate move. This is, we need a receiver. We need a speed guy on the outside. I think, you know, their deep threat these first couple of weeks really has been Rob Gronkowski. And I know Philip Dorsett is a fast guy and he can get down the field, and Brady Lofton went up to him down in Jacksonville that they didn't connect on. But I don't know if they look at him as a true deep threat. This is what Josh Gordon is. He's outside the numbers. He's big. He's physical. You know, when you have people like Dorsett, who yesterday called Gordon a freak athlete, I mean, Dorsett is a freak athlete himself. The guy ran, I think, a 4.2-something at his 40, his pro day 40 time coming out of college. And he's calling Josh Gordon a freak athlete. So he has rare physical skills, and I think they're gonna do all they can to make it work. Now, that doesn't mean they throw the playbook at him and they say, okay, if you can't take, you're going to be gone. He's going to get a package of plays week after week that are specific to the game plan, and they're going to see what he can do.
All right, so Phil Perry, I heard that he passed the physical yesterday, and it's looking like he's been greenlit to at least be available for this week's game against Detroit. If you see him being used at all, how do you see him being used in his first game?
So the interesting thing about Gordon is, yes, he is this down-the-field type of guy, and he still has that kind of athleticism. But I think the reason that Brady, you know, would be excited about this kind of move is that he's, in some ways, maybe second to Gronkowski, he's sort of the ultimate bailout type of receiver, where you can throw it up to him and he's so much bigger and stronger usually than the guys covering him, that even if he is covered, you feel good about just giving him that opportunity. So at the last second, somebody's bearing down on you, if you're Brady, you're in the pocket and that clock is winding down before you're about to take a sack, that's the kind of guy you can kind of heave one up to and feel good about, the same way he would about Gronkowski. You know, obviously the trust isn't there, the dependability isn't there yet, but that's the kind of athlete you're talking about. So I'm assuming that the way they would try to use him would be as a vertical threat. As I said, I think they need that guy. But if it's third down, you need a possession guy. You need somebody to just get to the sticks and be physical and create a little bit of separation at the top of the route, then Josh Gordon should be able to do that too. Are they going to be giving him, you know, dozens of option routes to run against the Detroit Lions if he's active this coming Sunday? I would find that hard to believe, but there are a handful of things that he could probably do right away and be useful.
So, Phil, could you clarify, because, you know, I was reading something this morning about if he was – is he just simply a restricted free agent next year if things work out and how – or is it something different? I've kind of seen conflicting reports.
No, that's how I understand it, is that because of the accrued time that he has or that he doesn't have, that he would be a restricted free agent after this season. And so, you know, then you're running into a situation like you had with Malcolm Butler basically a couple of years ago, and you'd be able to tender the guy based on the kind of value that, you know, or based on where you would value him. So, you know, we had that whole situation with Malcolm Butler, like I said, a couple of years ago, where he ended up making far less than he was worth, but because he was restricted, that worked out in the Patriots' favor. Or I think financially, obviously, it worked out in the Patriots' favor. He ended up not being happy about it and not having a great season. But that's where you would be with Josh Gordon.
Okay, so, Phil, take everything you know about Josh Gordon, everything you know about the Patriots. What, in your opinion, is the percentage chance that this works?
Well, look, I would just look at Josh Gordon in a vacuum and just say, okay, how often has this guy been able to keep it together? How often has he been able to show that football is important to him? And, you know, not just say it, but, you know, have his actions speak for themselves. And just looking at his actions, I would say the percentage chance is really low. I would put it at, you know, maybe 10%. But again, given what you're giving up, I think it's worth that risk. It's a fifth round pick. You get that late round pick if he plays 10 games. But the reason the Patriots are always trading fifth round picks, guys, and how many times have we seen it? And this past year was actually surprising to me that they took a player in the fifth round. They took Juwan Bentley in the fifth round. Before that, Joe Cardona was the last guy. And before that, it was 2011 since they had used the fifth round pick. It's because other teams value these fifth round picks, and the Patriots, they look at it basically, as far as I'm concerned, similar to a sixth or a seventh rounder. If you take a guy in the fifth, sixth, seventh, or undrafted, you have about the same percentage odds of that guy becoming a legitimate player. And so the Patriots are happy to part ways with those if it means that they have the potential to receive a legitimate player in return.
All right, just quickly, Phil Perry, about something else. What's up with Dante Hightower?
Do you ask me that because it looks like he's not moving as quickly as we're accustomed to seeing from time to time?
I'm asking because he's not playing particularly well.
Yeah, I mean, I think it stood out to people that, you know, we see him in the open field on occasion, and it looks like, okay, he's almost kind of like waiting for somebody to cut back in the open field, and so he's not going 100%. I think in those situations, he's kind of understanding when the journey's over for him, and, you know, the odds of catching a guy and the value of going all out to catch that person, and that doesn't always look great, but I think that's somebody who's trying to maintain somewhat and try to play a full season. But I think, you know, they're moving him around a little bit. I think Juwan Bentley has emerged as a player in the middle of that defense, and he took a little bit of a step back in Jacksonville, but they obviously trust him, and so they're moving him around. I think you're going to start to see him get his legs under him a little bit more as a pass rusher just from talking to him a couple times early this season. I think he's just kind of in that same boat as a lot of guys who miss a lot of time the year before. It's going to take a little while before you really kind of see him fully up to speed.
All right, Phil Perry, NBC Sports Boston, thank you for the time, sir.
All right, guys.
Phil mentioned something at the beginning that is truly phenomenal, is that the Patriots, since July 23rd, have had 25 transactions at wide receiver.
Yep.
25 since then.
This is a Hail Mary move. It is a desperate move for a team that desperately needs a wide receiver. So they decided to go big, but I agree with Phil. The chances of this working are very low.
By the way, that's the nicest I've heard Dante Hightower's performance explained by anybody.
He hasn't played well the first 2 weeks. I agree.
No, he's looked bad.
You have not heard his name a ton, and that's bad for a guy who's clearly the best at his position.
All right, we will, if you want something about Josh Gordon, 617-779-0985, hear the headlines.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
2014 season, I was suspended 10 games for the DUI. I needed 6 games for it to count as fully accrued towards being a restricted free agent the next year. I played 5 out of the 10 games. Suspended 10, got to play the last 5. The 6th game into the season, stayed out late. But the thing is, we had to be up in the morning for like a 7:30 team meeting. I didn't wake up until 10 o'clock, 10:15, coming out of blackout. I'm getting a bunch of texts and calls, you know, from coaches like, where are you at? We're headed to the tarmac already. And I'm like, oh, so drove up to the tarmac. Our general manager at the time kind of pulls me to the side, talks to me. He's like, I'm sorry, Josh, but you're not going on this plane. He's watching the plane go off. And it's like, well, it. Let's go home. Let's party.
Hell yeah. Josh Gordon has a good time, my friends. 617-779-0985. David, these are my favorite phone calls. Go ahead.
Hey, man. So, Wallach, what's wrong with you, man? You're talking about a Hail Mary?
It is.
Honestly, it's a fifth-round pick. It's not a Hail Mary. If we trade a first-round pick for this guy, that's a Hail Mary. You're investing a lot in it. This guy has a ceiling that's the moon right now. He, by far, I always said this about Josh Gordon, he's one of the most talented receivers in the NFL. Obviously, you know, we know all the baggage that comes along with it. But this is the type of receiver, if he even gets his head on half straight, that you can, he can run his own routes. You can alter the game plan according to him. And then more importantly, that's going to open up time for Gronk. So when you say Hail Mary,
it is.
It's not a Hail Mary. Because
would you prefer a shot in the dark?
Worst case scenario, this guy can't get over his addiction and we release him. Worst case scenario, we lose the fifth round pick.
Yeah.
But based on the ceiling and the potential upside of this guy, how could you call that a Hail Mary? Y'all have a good day, all right?
I think we're mincing words here. It's a huge gamble in that you're bringing in a guy.
It's not a gamble. A gamble is when you give up something and you're not giving up anything.
Well, in reality, you'd flip a fifth for a seventh, but as you heard Phil Perry say, you know, the Patriots don't really care about fifth-round picks to begin with.
This
so
is like
fine.
Investing a penny in a stock that could end up being worth hundreds or thousands of dollars. You're giving
it's
up
true.
Literally nothing.
It's that's fine. All I'm saying is you're taking on a massive headache for however long he's here. I don't think he's still overcome by his demons. You don't wave a magic wand and all of this disappears. It's more than a change of scenery.
How big of a headache do you think it actually is?
I think if you really want Josh Gordon to succeed on this team, it's a massive headache. You have to make sure he knows, you know where he is. You have to make sure he shows up at meetings.
Well, no, you don't, because you cut him if that happens. If
fine.
He doesn't show up, you cut him. That's the easiest thing about all this. That's why Josh Gordon was a no-brainer, because A, it costs nothing, and the Patriots are in a position where they're like, we're not going to tolerate any garbage from this guy, and if we do, we'll let him go.
There is a sense of desperation. More to the point, there's a sense of desperation around this team that I haven't seen in a long time.
Now, that's true.
In the past, I don't think the Patriots would have taken a run at this particular guy. They've taken on guys that have baggage before, obviously.
Right. Albert Akeem Haynes Tlaib.
Akeem Tlaib.
Randy Moss.
Tlaib going back, Corey.
Like
going back,
Akeem Tlaib was like, as far as
a lot of
reputation.
Trouble with the law,
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, but, I mean, he never missed four years.
No, he never missed 4 years. Obviously, we made that comparison earlier. Corey Dillon was not a good guy at all when he got here. And the Patriots got a 1,600-yard season out of him. This is an entirely different animal. I mean, Josh Gordon is his own worst enemy, and I don't know how that plays when you come to a team like this. Yeah, you could turn around and cut him in 2 weeks, but in the end, I mean, the desperation surrounding this position is setting off a lot of alarm bells, I think. I mean, I haven't seen the Patriots really be this desperate in a long time.
How cool is it, though, that he, like, blacked out and then he went to the airplane?
Yeah.
And they were like, don't get on the airplane. He's like,
Let's party.
He's like, let's go back and let's do it up again.
Well, he did that article.
Hell yeah.
He did that article with GQ where he talked about.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
His ritual before he would
this
play
is
every
perfect
game.
For the show. I hope he stays here all year. This would be perfect for the show.
But you have to admit, if you're spiraling down and you just see the airplane take off, you're like, oh, cool.
Yeah, I mean,
like, I don't have to go to the game.
Yeah, football, not exactly your number one priority if you turn around and just go back to, okay,
you've made like $750,000. You're saying, no.
all right. You know, I'm living in Cleveland. It's not that expensive.
That's true. I'm gonna. This is gonna go a long way here.
Have you ever felt like relief when you got fired from something? Actually, like, there's that relief.
Actually,
like,
there has been a couple of moments like that.
Yeah, like where you're like, oh, cool, I don't have to go into work.
Yeah.
So you know, he's blacked out. You know, he's super hungover, and so he drives, and they're like, you can't get on the plane. I guarantee you, there's a part of him that was like, cool.
It's like the scene in Friday. It's like, you know, you're fired. It's Friday. You ain't got blank to do. Let's get high.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, when you're, this is from the GQ article because it talked about, I mean, this was obviously an issue, but even when he was playing well, he was still doing tons of pot. I mean, as a matter of fact, they talk about it. It goes, back when you're playing the NFL, would you describe yourself as a functioning alcoholic? And he goes, highly functioning. He goes, for sure. I definitely pushed the limit. I don't know how I did it. It could be before games. It could be before practice, after practice. You see other guys kind of doing it, but I would take it to another level a lot of times. Feeling as though I was being enabled, I thought it was okay to do this. Well, this is the norm, and it wasn't. It definitely wasn't. They asked, can you think of an example? He said, I used to make a ritual of it before every game. If I had already been drug tested that week or the day before the game, I knew I had a couple of days to buy to clean my system. Even before I was getting tested to alcohol prior to my DWI in 2014, I would take the biggest bong rip I could. And to try to conceal all the smell off my clothes, I'd be dressed up to go to the game. A bunch of guys smoke weed before the game. We're not talking about them. I'd have these little pre-made shots. I used to love Grand Marnier, and I could drink it down smooth. I know,
Grand
it's gross. Marnier is
gross.
He said, I could usually drink a lot of it, but if it wasn't that, it might be whiskey or something. And I would drink probably like half a glass or a couple shots to try to warm my system up, basically, to get the motor running. And that's what I would do before games. So these games where he was playing well, he was taking a massive bong rip before he showed up and then would take, what did he say, a half a glass of Grand Marnier?
Yeah, it depends what kind of glass.
Well, I'm assuming it's like two shots. I think, as a matter of fact, they put that in there.
That's not nothing. That's nothing.
Two shots. That's, I mean, for the normal human being, two shots is enough to make you, you know, a little bit, okay,
yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, dude feels good. He goes out there.
But I'm also not going against and playing like elite athletes who want to take my head off.
Yeah, but I mean, two shots of alcohol is 3 ounces of alcohol.
Ultimately, the good news for the Patriots fans, if this is ever going to work, is this is his absolute last chance. If he can't succeed with this head coach and this quarterback, no team is going to touch him. So this is his last opportunity to succeed, because if he does perform well here, he's going to get a huge contract. Probably not here, but somewhere else.
Right.
So this is his chance. He's been given this golden opportunity.
That's right. Brian, go ahead.
Yeah, Wallach, stop acting like Felger and Maz. You're not going to get your own show. Cut the negativity. Josh Gordon's amazing, all right? I get it. It's a risk. But cut the crap. We all know it's an act. This is good stuff.
And if you smoke sativa before a game, that's like an upper. So I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Well, I mean, the problem is not showing up. And by the way,
not showing up is not good.
Right. I mean, that's when you
agree with
that.
But if he took a big bomb rip of sativa, I mean, that's like a stimulant almost.
Somebody said, would you do this on game days? The GQ did. And he goes, we would stay at the team hotel, and then players are allowed to go back home, get what they need, and then go to the game. So I'd leave the hotel early morning, go home, eat breakfast, do my little ritual, whatever it may be, some weed, some alcohol, and then go to the game. And then I'd definitely be partying after every game, win, lose, every game.
Oh, he drank that far before the game?
Yeah.
Ew.
And they said, were you doing this in 2000?
I thought he did it right before he got on the field.
No, he was a little
funky for a while.
What
the hell's the point of that?
Dude, I have no idea.
Why would you do two shots and then play in like 3 hours?
He said, were you doing this in 2013 during the back-to-back 200-yard games, for instance? He said, yeah. How many of your games would you estimate that you had something in your system for? Every game. Probably every game of my career.
I don't think he's alone in that.
These are the demons he's wrestling with still after all this time.
I just think that it got out of control. I don't think he's the only person in the league by far that.
No,
probably a lot of people do a lot worse. Robert, you got to be out of your mind to get out there. Robert, go ahead.
Hey, a couple things, guys. First of all, as many chances as the NFL's given Josh Gordon, it reminds me of that Bugs Bunny cartoon where he keeps drawing a line and Yosemite Sam keeps stepping across it and he finally walks him right over a cliff. I kind of get that feeling that's with the NFL. They'll just keep giving a guy and just let him walk himself over a cliff. But, you know, I think you guys are missing one important component that I think will really increase the chances of Josh Gordon succeeding, and that's Matthew Slater. With his all the work he does with addiction and everything else, I think he'd be a really good guy for them to match Gordon up with and kind of, you know, help him – you know, I guess counsel him or bring him along the way.
He's a big nerd.
And by the way, if he does make it work, then Slater can say,
how do we feel about tasting the sweet nectar of victory?
Eric makes it a triumphant trifecta. Eric, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say that I can't believe you let Rich just get away with saying doing pot.
Okay, I was
did
gonna,
I say that?
I was going to say something, but we had already gotten into it at 6.
Did I say that? I didn't realize that.
You did say that.
Well, you know, at least I didn't say...
Nothing like going to Denver to smoke the marijuana like a cigarette.
I can't believe I said doing pot.
Eric, I did hear
all
that.
Right. Well, that is awful.
I didn't want to bust his ball.
I think I was reading an article and I just like I was jumping around.
All right.
That was awful. That was bad.
You would have crushed me instantly.
No, it sucks. I should never say
talking to
pot.
Fred now. If I had said it, you would have stopped the show.
At least I own it. I'm like, you, John.
No, I never own that. Come on.
Well, you weren't owning it this morning that you were being just like a hot take contrarian for the sake of being a contrarian.
Have I backed off?
Well, that's right. I mean, I forgot. You are.
Phil Perry says it's a 10% chance. I don't. You know what? Hopefully it works if you're a Patriot fan. And if it doesn't, they're stuck with a bunch of garbage at receiver. But, you know, what's the worst that can happen? They got to have someone babysit them. I mean, it's not going to affect anyone. But the idea that Slater's going to get in there and have something to do.
That's the hottest of hot takes right there.
No.
Slater's going to come in and save the day with the cape on.
Just he like, talked about it, I think. I'm sure he did,
but he's a huge nerd. And I don't see Gordon like sitting down and going, like, let's hang out.
All right, dude. Whatever, man.
See where Gordon's locker is. I put it right next to Slater.
Like someone comes up to you and goes, hey, guess what, buddy? We're putting together a puzzle. He's going to be like, no.
I got a game of Risk ready to go.
No.
What's wrong with that?
Game of Risk.
What's wrong with a good game of Risk every once in a while?
What is that, John?
He ratted Carbo out for doing weed.
Yeah.
That's right. And if I had said something like that, Fred would have stopped the show and held a requiem on it.
I heard him say doing pot.
You did say something like
that. Yeah, I know. If I had just said it like you did, the show would have stopped.
I just got into it with him. All right. I did it when the rare calling me a dick call to happen again. Mark, go ahead.
Mark.
Yeah, I think it's going to be hilarious. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
All right. I think it's going to be hilarious to see how this plays out. I love how the Patriots fans are always talking about doing the right thing. Now, all of a sudden, they're going to have this drug, alcohol-addicted guy, and they actually believe that it's going to work out. So you're going to take a guy who has already had an issue last Saturday, and that's why Cleveland gave up on him, to come into one of the hardest offenses to learn and then expect him to do well.
Yeah, but what's the downside? Yeah,
there's no downside.
Here's the downside is the fact that you want to bring somebody in that's going to take a little bit to learn this tough offense.
Sure.
And so you're going to mess around for the next 4, 5, 6 weeks with this guy, and then when he crashes and burns, and he will, that you're not going to have a guy to be able to come to the team and learn it and be effective. You want to bring a guy in now.
Who's out there? Who's better than Josh Gordon right now? Give me somebody who's out there that they could take that's better than Josh Gordon.
I mean, you could trade for somebody.
Yeah. Who?
It doesn't have to be better than Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon is not going to be there. So you're wasting time and a fifth-round draft pick on a guy that's not going to help.
You're really worried about a fifth-round draft pick?
So you're going to have some Joe Schmo who's going to be able to come in and at least help you. Like you said, you could have had Dez Bryant, or you could look for other possible guys.
Who's the best fifth-round draft pick the Patriots have?
What he's saying is that if you could make a deal now.
I know you can because you got the glasses.
I could answer that right now.
They're long snapper.
Cardona, Marcus Cannon's a fifth-round pick, and Dan Culpin was a fifth-round pick.
Okay, all right.
Well, I'll tell you, is that his point is, if I'm not mistaken, is that if they could have made a deal for someone who is not such a big risk. Is that correct?
That is correct. Okay. There's other guys that you could go after and try to develop. This guy is just a waste of time and money. And like I said, a fifth-round pick. And you guys are trying to justify. And Belichick always trades down because he wants more picks. And yeah, we want to give away one of his picks that he savors.
All right.
You could still make a trade. I mean, this isn't prohibiting you from making a sort of trade.
Yeah, but no fifth, no sixth-round pick now.
Yeah, and plus you'd have to look out. You'd be introducing them into the offense later.
Yeah,
I don't have a problem with them training for Gordon. But the guy's not out of his mind.
Fred, if the choice was between Josh Gordon and Golden Tate making a trade for that, then maybe we'd have a problem. But as far as we know, Golden Tate was not available on the
Golden
trade
block. Golden Tate very well could be available now because the Lions are terrible. So, I mean, there is a chance that he would be available. All right, so we'll be right back. We'll have something. Speaking of Detroit, Detroit City Hall is going like crazy.
98.5. Toucher and Rich.